to hour number two on this Wednesday night. Lots ahead. And we've done a lot of things to help many people, and we hope we've saved some lives with the information and the energy that we put out doing this for a long time now. And it's not over. We are now moving into what we feel is an expanding era of transmission, shedding, whatever word you want to use. There's more danger out there than ever. And I think I speak for both of us here without any question. It seems to be growing. What do you think?
Yeah, from where I sit, yeah, it is. You know, the injuries from the vax are starting to really manifest now. And the shedding is out of control.
The shedding is out of control. Now, that might be a bit much for some people, but don't let it be, because we really do believe that that is what's going on. This thing is getting to be more of a danger for the unvaxxed than it ever was before. And we came across this idea, and Erica said, I think the big danger is direct physical touch. And many of you listening right now have communicated that with us, and we've had a couple on the program. And yes, physical touch is not a joke. And if someone leans for you, you meet them, and they stick out their hand, you've got to train yourself not to grab it. You don't know what their background is. You don't know if they've been on their 16th booster. You don't know what the status is. Don't do it. Just bow your head and say, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you. Please forgive me. I don't shake hands. And people are going to back away. They're going to say, oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I've done it many times. So don't do that. And don't hug. God, this is hard to say. Those of you who have families and loved ones who are in an opposite vax status, you don't want to hug them or put your cheek on their cheek or kiss them on the cheek. We have too many stories of people who have become very sick for weeks from doing something that simple. And it didn't used to be this bad. It's getting worse. And it's not just because we're hearing more about it either. It's changing. Something's changing.
Well, if you consider how many more people have now been vaxxed, and this push to vaccinate the children, you know, there's many more people who are vaxxed right now than there's ever been. And I have seen a number of reports, and people constantly ask, well, when does the shedding stop? There's no hard and fast answer. I saw one report today where somebody had the J&J, which is, that's the one and done. You only required one. And they had it a year ago. And
yeah, they don't give it anymore.
I think they still have some in stock, but they've pretty much stopped injecting it.
All right.
I guess, you know, that was another one of the clot shots. That adenoviral vector was renowned for causing immediate clotting. But at least one report of somebody that knows a person that got the J&J a year ago, and whenever unvaxxed people come in the vicinity of that person, they're still getting sick.
Still. Adenovirus after a year.
One.
You made that point early on. Said this virus is tough. It doesn't just go away in a few hours. A year,
well,
though.
That's
pretty remarkable.
I suppose it depends how, you know, which organs ended up getting transfected. In other words, which organs are now producing spike on a permanent basis. Probably the liver. The adenovirus has a tendency to be trafficked through the liver. And the liver is a great synthesizer of proteins. And, you know, there may be times when people shed more, like possibly if they're exercising or if they're under stress, perhaps they're producing more protein at those times. It may depend on what they're eating.
Well, how about just perspiration, sweating?
Well, yeah, and any time you're allowing things to exit the body that way, heavy breathing or sweating, or, yeah, I mean, that would be a given. Go ahead.
Gloves. Go ahead.
I think gloves are not out of the question now. I mean, people are saying that they can sense objects that vaxxed people have handled. How much of that is psychosomatic? I don't know.
That's a fine line there. I don't know. I'm not knocking anybody who says that. I just don't know. Are they smelling it? Are they just vibrationally sensing it?
These people have developed a genuine hypersensitivity to this protein, assuming it is the protein, then, you know, it's not going to take much at all to get the body reacting to it. You know, we use the example of, you know, the protein that cats produce that many people are allergic to. It's carried in their saliva. They lick the saliva dries, and this protein becomes aerosolized and enters the environment. And if you're very allergic, you don't even have to see the cat. You can just be in a house where a cat has lived or stayed, and you can begin to react to it.
And we also think that once someone has been spiked and they have a physiological response to it, they may be hypersensitized and it may recur in the future at a much lower exposure.
Right, right. Right, so the spike protein has sequences on it that encourage that allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you get exposed to it, enough of it, often enough, chances are you will eventually become allergic to it and have these hypersensitivity reactions to it.
I agree. Okay. In the meantime, there's a ruckus that has arisen, and it's very interesting. As you know, we've pointed out in the past some things that we view when we watch and listen to Dr. Robert Malone. Some of the things he says are perfect, almost too perfect. Whatever. Dr. Peter Breggin, internationally respected psychiatrist, he's a brilliant man. He and his wife, Ginger, have put out their book recently, which we've talked about at some length. It is a masterpiece of a book all about this horrible pandemic and the ramifications. It's deeply researched. It's about 700 pages. And that's one. But they have a column that they write as well. And this is, I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but it's very interesting. And I think some of you may remember the program we did about a year ago. It was October, wasn't it, a year ago? Is that right?
Yes, it was October.
We played a clip of Dr. Malone in an interview he did with a newsman, a journalist, kind of an off-the-cuff interview, in which he said, we must get as much vaccine into as many seniors as quickly as possible. And I think he said adults and seniors, but he did at least say seniors. And that's quite at variance with what he was saying generally at the time as he's building this anti-vax, save the planet mystique, right? So he said that. And we do know that he didn't like that. And the journalist involved actually received a personal phone call from Dr. Malone saying, I didn't appreciate you playing that or having that played on radio, national radio. He didn't like that. Because we played the clip and he said it right out loud. So as an echo of that, we have something else now. Matthias Desmet, D-E-S-M-E-T. I'm reading now verbatim from Peter and Ginger Breggin's column, their website, which is called America Out Loud. Desmet, the psychotherapist and professor of psychology, whom we have criticized as a leading apologist for political mass murderers, actually knew that one of his own patients was an unrecognized mass murderer. and then let him go without reporting him because he thought his psychotherapy had cured this mass murderer for life. A little bit of confidence there, wouldn't you say? The predator, it seems, had been killing people since he was 22 and was now an older man with a lifetime of multiple murders when he saw Desmet in therapy. We have been criticizing, writes Peter and Ginger Bregan, Desmet and his chief supporter, the same Dr. Robert Malone, for promoting the concept of mass formation and mass psychosis, which blames the victims of totalitarianism. The totalitarian actions in this case are the oppressive COVID-19 policies and practices. Okay, now I'm going to skip up to the top. I just wanted to do that as a little intro. Writes Peter Bregan, as I was finished, this is 2 days old, September 7th, it was 1 day old. As I was finishing last-minute editing on this paper on September 5th, 2022, at 2:57 p.m. New York time, I received a call from a telephone in Charlottesville, Virginia. A voice was on the other line, very dark, demanding in its tone. Is this Dr. Peter Bregan? Me, Peter, hesitantly, yes, thinking it was a spam call and ready to hang up. The voice, continuing dark and demanding, this is Dr. Malone. Why are you targeting me? I will have to send you a cease and desist letter. Me, Bregan, are you threatening me? And then he called to Ginger, his wife, who's nearby. Ginger, it's Malone on the phone. Ginger, entering my office. What's he saying? Me, I'll put him on speaker. The next thing I heard is the sound of Malone's phone slamming down. My conjecture is that Malone did not want a witness to what he was about to say. It is possible that Malone had some hint about the incredible news we were about to break in this column, not about him, but about Matthias Desmet. The only other time Malone ever contacted us was by email to me to complain about our criticizing Desmet in an earlier column on America Out Loud. Malone clearly wants to stifle my freedom of speech and freedom to criticize his ideology around matters of enormous political importance to society. Our debate is about how to view global predators or totalitarians and how to act in response to their predations. This question is of central importance to the future of individual freedom and political liberty. Clearly, Desmet and his ideology are also of central importance to Malone. But he doesn't want any public challenges made to it. End of preface. And then it goes on for the rest of the column. I have the story up in headlines. You can find it. So it's a very interesting issue to watch this continuing metamorphosis of Dr. Robert Malone.
The plot thickens. I've always thought, to some extent, that placating the public with these, I don't even know what you call it, just preaching to us like, you know, there are saviors, and yet nothing changes.
Well, we know that there has been a great deal of money from where we don't know. Spent
right.
on producing documentaries featuring Dr. Robert Malone. I mean, big money. Excellent.
Obviously,
superb photography.
Obviously.
Yeah. Composition, production values, all there. This is big time stuff. And I think they were called Headwinds. W-I-N-D-S. Yes? Was that it?
I believe so, yeah. Headwind. Yeah.
So
it's just interesting to watch who's getting promoted, who's getting access to the biggest platforms over and over and over again. And there's many people out there doing damn good research, things that could really blow the lid on this thing, and they're never given a platform.
Never.
Never.
Nope.
They toil away. They have a limited number of followers or viewers, and yet their information is very worthy of consideration, but it will never be heard.
Nope. I guess it's okay to mention this because one of our listeners sent it in. Is that okay if I mention that video?
Oh, I guess.
About Dr. Lee Merritt. We may have more to say about that name later on at some other time. It's very interesting finding out more things about this. But somebody put out a video over a year ago. How long ago?
A year ago, I guess.
Kind of shredding Dr. Merritt for not having the background or legitimate scientific credentiality, that doesn't mean the same as credentials, to be speaking with such authority in such a rather shallow way about a lot of things that are not her specialty. Somebody took exception to that and put out a video. It wasn't us. We had nothing to do with it. So people have been watching her for some time. We tabbed her early on as someone who was going places, etc. And she has. So we'll see. This poor Mina thing was a big blunder. And that, I don't know how that's going to be handled, but not my worry.
Well, you've got to look at what's getting so-called signal boosted. What's the message that keeps getting promoted? And if you're going to go along with these, you know, virus denier, no contagion thing, you will get a platform.
Yeah.
Now, who benefits from that?
Cui bono. Now.
And with this issue of shedding, you know, it would be very nice if everybody would be convinced that there's no issue with shedding or there's no contagion, you have nothing to worry about, just clean up your terrain and you'll be fine. And here's the supplements to clean up your terrain.
Oh,
they're all selling.
You mean if I buy some of those $160 and $70 supplements, I'll clean up my terrain? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you get rid of your heavy metals and your parasites. I'm not saying that doesn't stand for anything. That it certainly does.
No, it's helpful. It's all good.
However,
but
that's not going to address the synthetic biology that's now integrating into your physiology.
No. And if you missed the opening, I had a very cute little Laurel and Hardy clip I was going to play to try and lighten things up, but I didn't prepare Erica for it, so another time. These are dark times. Got to laugh a little bit sometimes.
Well, and it's disturbing that, you know, we've known about the amyloidosis now for at least a couple months, you know, in the official realm with the publication of the study that came out of Sweden and the work that Resia Pretorius has done in South Africa. That's a huge concern.
Yes.
And you don't hear any of these docs talking about that.
No, I again repeat what I've said many times. When was the last time you heard or read the word amyloidosis anywhere?
Right.
Among the flow of chatter that's constantly being aimed at us, aimed at the world, at the sheep, at the masses. They don't want people to focus on reality. So now we're back to graphene oxide. Can hydras be far behind? I don't know.
You know, I think it's rather interesting that the graphene oxide issue came about immediately on the heels of the SPIONs, the super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles that right. people were beginning to talk about, and they were testing themselves for magnetism, and they were taking magnets into the grocery store and discovering that their meats were magnetic, some of them anyway. But that only lasted about 2 weeks. And I think that the iron issue is really grossly overlooked in this pathology with the spike protein and the virus. I think, first and foremost, it's an iron dysregulation problem, beginning in the blood. The heme, if it gets destroyed, the iron dissociates. It causes all kinds of oxidative stress. And when iron is dysregulated, you can have amyloid build up as a protective mechanism. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but that is a consideration, something that bears closer examination. But it's funny how the iron thing went silent in favor of the graphene oxide, if you really think about it, people are getting injected with all kinds of things, have been for years. People carry around mercury toxicity, lead toxicity, cadmium toxicity. When you go for an MRI, you may be injected with gadolinium. But these people are not transmitting that toxicity to people around them. And we're expected to believe that graphene is being transmitted that way? No way. Prove it.
Well, this is at least the second graphene incarnation, is it not? It was one of the early ones, graphene oxide.
Right, and we have, who was it? Was it Robert Young? He actually committed scientific fraud recently, submitting a paper
This is important.
Yeah.
Please go slow through this. This is really important.
Unbelievable. I think we have Dr. Kevin McCarron to thank for this one. He discovered in his research that Dr. Robert Young, author of PH Miracle, submitted a paper recently using the credentials and name of a legitimate neurosurgeon in Italy, and got his graphene oxide in vaccine paper published using that individual's credentials. And when it was formally accepted by the journal, then went about to change the name on the paper to his name twice.
Isn't that just a little unethical, if not illegal?
It's extremely unethical. And yet, this guy's got a following. People are hanging on every word he says, and he's a fraud. That is flat-out fraud.
The con artist. It's another carny act.
I believe that Dr. Kevin McCarron has taken it upon himself to notify the journal, and the journal is looking into it.
Yeah.
But, we've got the papers showing the name change.
Black and white, right there.
Yep. Black
exhibit
and white.
Exhibit A and Exhibit B. They're right there. True story. Wow. All right. So there we go. We have, apparently, and I've known Peter Bregan and Ginger for over 20, 25 years. I don't know, a long time. And I believe every word of what he wrote. He's very highly respected around the world. And if Malone is backing Desmet, to the extent that any word written negatively about Desmet could elicit a phone call from Malone, obviously a rather, I don't want to say threatening, there was no direct bodily threat, but it was, I will send you a cease and desist letter. I guess that's a threat. It just tells you things that you won't find on CNN, or the big three alt news platforms. You're not going to find it.
Right.
So there you go. All right. Where do we go from here? Onward to readers?
Sure. Let's do some readers.
I think what we want to know again is that we're giving the best we can, and we do, to painting a picture or showing a picture of the human catastrophe that is going on all around us all the time. And that story yesterday about the high school football player, right?
Ugh, unbelievable.
16-year-old kid had pains in his legs. His calves swelled up, and they pulled out, was it two or more? Several two-foot-long clots from his legs. He's finished. He won't play football ever again. And it's good they got them out, but the sad part of it is, and many of you probably are already onto this, is clots aren't necessarily restricted to legs. Those amyloid clots will grow anywhere. So
I mean, you know, it's anywhere that spike is being produced or ends up, I should say, also has the potential to begin the cascade of misfolded proteins, and they will aggregate together and form these stringy fibrils, which will affect the function of that organ. How quickly that progresses, anybody's guess.
And to add the obvious, sadly, it does not require a spike protein once the cascade effect has begun. A normal protein that has been caused to misfold will go on to cause another normal protein to misfold. It doesn't require a spike to misfold every protein. That should scare the living daylights out of anybody with a mind.
Right.
You follow? It's just not, it's the spike is bad enough. But if it starts a cascade in someone, who knows how far it could develop? No one knows.
Right.
And no D-dimer test isn't going to work because those clots are
not
blood.
No, it will not pick up those types of clots.
So, I mean,
so
I looked at that kid.
So it can be progressing silently.
Yes.
That's the insidious part of this.
Oh,
you may think you're fine.
All stealth. All of it. Sickening. And I looked at that poor kid, and I said, you know, geez, if he got to the point where his legs got that bad, what other veins and or arteries in his body are being clotted right now?
Right.
He obviously took the shot, and bang. People are more hesitant now to admit vax status. They're being quiet about it. They're confused, and understandably so. All right. We've got some more readers that Erica has put together for you. These are real people and real tragedy. I don't know. Go ahead and start. Where do you want to start?
I've got to find my folder here.
Oh, how about, this is a good title, Dead in Stairwell. Sounds like a new movie.
I know. Friend of the family, healthy 30-year-old man, double magic juiced, lived alone, found dead in his stairwell at his home, all in shock.
Meaning they were all in shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and take the next one.
My grandmother is in a care home in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they gave her 4 jabs because it's required to stay there. After the first, nothing happened. After the second, she was diagnosed with heart inflammation, and she was hospitalized with a bladder infection. After the third, she was hospitalized because her kidneys were failing, and she was refusing to eat. After the fourth, she got COVID really bad. They didn't think she was going to make it, but she recovered. She was physically fine before. I'm scared they will make her get more, and there's really nothing that I can do about it. Another family member has power of attorney and keeps giving them the okay to give them to her. I haven't seen her since December of 2019 because I'm not allowed in without a vaccine. I'm afraid I will never see her again.
This is incredible.
Hideous.
Just absolutely incredible. Well, what I'm going to just digress for a moment. That thing about Robert Zero Young putting his name on a paper like that should outrage every single person listening.
Yeah.
And this guy is people, I know McCarran has is disgusted by them, as are we, frankly. This is a highly unethical, if not illegal, thing to do. But that's not all. If you listen to the man talk, it's often a word salad of nothingness. It's almost quasi-gibberish. It's not to say he doesn't have his shtick down. He can say interstitial ocean all night long. We got that. But this guy is one of many who is not what he would like others to think he is. And that's my opinion, not speaking for Erica.
No, I agree. I haven't heard him say anything new in 20 years. He's got some valid points regarding diet and all, but he's far from, he does not have a handle on the molecular nanotechnology aspects of these things. I've heard him give his testimony at the Reiner Fulmic panel there, and
I saw it too. Well, it's just like saying that Lee Merritt is a nanotechnology expert, which she probably would like you to think. She's not. She was an orthopedic surgeon, right?
Well, it's one thing to give opinions with a disclaimer, but to saying that you're some kind of authority on this stuff and
or even act like
you shouldn't
like
be questioned,
okay?
Offering nothing. In terms of proof, all these theories are great, but what do you have for proof?
She was an out-of-work orthopedic surgeon and probably did a lot of great work during her, I think she said 10 years about in the Navy, and announced on one of these programs, was it the five docs? I don't remember. She said that she had just bought a $300,000 laser tattoo removal machine, and that was going to be her next line of work. You said that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Apparently that didn't pan out, or she got a better offer. How's that? We'll leave it alone.
Could be. Yeah.
And look, these are just two of, we could go after dozens, who have very strange and rather suspicious contours to their being, to their persona.
Well, the trend I'm seeing here, there's a theme here, and the theme is they don't want you to believe there's infectious, contagious, pathogenic viruses. They don't want you to believe there's anything of that nature in the injections. And whatever they've done in terms of their measurements is all the proof you need that there's no RNA or DNA in any of these vials. Well, I'm not ready to hang my hat on that. I see a lot of people getting these injections that are, in fact, producing spike protein to their own detriment. Where's that coming from? Are you telling me that's an exosome, the result of an exosome? Your body would produce a lethal protein on its own without some interference?
Yeah.
It just doesn't hold up. And we can find that protein in the diseased tissues.
Right. Biggest lesson of all, people are often very good at presenting themselves as things they aren't, like experts in certain fields. All they have to do is say it like they know it, and the masses who are staring in a mesmerized, altered mental state will accept it. Okay? It's real easy.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. Not a problem at all. All right, here's another one here. My fit, healthy 24-year-old assistant got it, the shot, and then at 24 years of age had a stroke and supposed small hole in her heart that the doctor convinced her was from taking birth control. This is a doctor? My sister took the shot and then had a disturbing rash on her arm and shoulder that looked like her skin was dying and falling off. My husband's aunt got it and then got a blood clot in her arm It looked like a golf ball sticking out of the crease of her elbow. My cousin got the shot and has been in the hospital 3 times after passing out and was in AFib. The doctors can't figure out what's wrong with her. My aunt got it and now coughs all the time and is out of breath. She can't even do yard work or normal chores. My employee got it, a shot, and he's had a cough for almost a year now that won't go away. She literally coughs up blood. The doctors told her it's just allergies. She never coughed like this the entire 5 years I've known her. Her friend is a postal delivery person. She said that an abnormal amount of people have died on her route in the last year. My husband has 2 co-workers who both just lost young, healthy family members in their sleep who took the injection. A client of mine took it to travel and then could no longer lift her arm. Happy trip, right? Bon voyage? I've noticed that this year an unusually high amount of people on my Facebook page have been posting about the loss of relatives. I don't know if these people took it or not, but I live in a very liberal area, and it's very likely they did. I have never had to type, "I'm so sorry for your loss," so much on people's posts in the past. Another one of my employees also works for a pediatric clinic. She said that pericarditis and myocarditis in children is becoming a daily diagnosis, and they all share one big thing in common, and you can figure out what it is.
That's
unbelievable. Okay, that's just from one person. Uno.
Yeah. Another one says, "I've lost 4 people in my life this year, all in their 40s, all perfectly healthy prior, all of them left behind children. I also have a list of now 37 people in my life that are suffering health conditions that are suddenly new. Cancers, blood clots, heart attacks, arthritis. My 25-year-old son has gout. I'm a hairstylist, so I hear of people dying almost daily. A client has a story of a family member, perfectly healthy, dropping dead. I have friends who cannot work as a result of the injury, perfectly healthy, strong, fit men and women in their 30s and 40s. My heart continues to mourn."
You see, the number of dead, is that's why I've been saying it's at least 10 million in this country. I mean, honestly, not everybody's involved with social media. Not everybody's on these particular boards and forums posting these stories. We don't know. This is a massive epidemic of brutal death and injury that has been hidden from us by the controlled media and the alleged government. It's not. It's a Bolshevik communist regime that overthrew the legitimate government, as bad as it was, that we had. I'm just amazed. Go ahead, take the next one.
All right, this is from the tinnitus and hearing loss group. So these are people that suffered hearing injuries after the shot. I thought I'd post my story here to encourage hope. I started experiencing tinnitus and vertigo after my second fax back in April 2021. Like many of you, it almost broke me. I had to quit my job because I could no longer drive a forklift. It was that bad. I started sleeping in another room from my husband because I had to have a masking sound all night to cover the ringing. All this combined brought on terrible depression and anxiety, of course. Fast forward about 3 months, and my tinnitus was still there at times, but not constant, and nowhere near as loud. The vertigo lasted about a full year, though sadly, but we have eased up to a point of nearly non-existence. I still get a few flare-ups, but nowhere near as bad. As crazy as it sounds, I went on to get the booster because the vax helps me at the same time it hurt me. Before any vaccine, I was really struggling with long haulers syndrome from a past COVID infection. I was always out of breath and had a burning chest feeling. Shortly after my first vax, I felt a dramatic difference, and it was almost as though the vax nipped the long haulers in the butt. Because of this, I can't say I have any regrets, no matter how difficult things get. I hope it doesn't cause any triggering, and hoping it helps someone to have hope.
I can't say I have any regrets, no matter how difficult things get. That's very strange.
Well, so it's you know, she obviously had COVID and then got the vax and exchanged the out of breath and burning chest feeling for constant tinnitus. I'm struggling to understand this logic. And then going for a booster.
No. Go ahead.
All right, so there's a couple replies. My coworker had similar path as yours. Bedridden COVID, long haul. The vaccine wiped it all out. She was fully back to normal. But then she had issues with the booster. It's all so bizarre. I'm glad you feel better.
Issues with the booster. Uh-huh. Right.
All right. And
not the first
second
shot.
One.
No, just the booster. First shot did nothing.
If the television tells them to keep taking these things, they will. All right, wow. The next one says, well, that's really good that maybe the vaccine helped you. Unfortunately for me, it's the opposite. I was perfectly fine until I took that vaccine, and then I had constant breathing issues, heart pain, and everything from head to toe. I've never been so miserable in my life, so there's no way that I would want to take another one. Hopefully you continue to get better. Keep us posted on what this next one does to you.
I can't take it. What is wrong with these people? My God. And the ones who are dying and say, oh, if I'd only gotten a booster in time.
They're out there. They really are. You can't make this up.
And there's one more a zealot here, another one. I had a friend who received the shot while she was... Now, why would anyone do this when they're... I don't care. Injection, pandemic, whatever. But you don't mess with your baby when it's 8 months and almost to be... All right. Had a friend who received the vax while 8 months pregnant. I did everything I could to try to convince her not to, or at least wait until the baby was born. She ended up having a stillbirth 2 weeks later. 2 weeks after the shot, it killed her kid. Baby dead. She is also having heart issues now, which she never had before. And there's a question, comment to that. Did she ever admit to you that she now knows what happened? I am so sad that little precious life was taken. And another adds, our friendship fell out because I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist. Apparently, she mentioned it to the woman who lost her child, and it was too much for her to handle, so she called her ex-friend now a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, they won't accept responsibility for their choice.
Okay, so stroke. This is one more. Another one.
Countless.
No, that don't end. All right. I lost three good friends who were healthy until their decision to get the shot. I begged my sister not to get the shot. She didn't listen. And a few months after, she had a stroke. What saddens me is that she still doesn't equate her stroke to getting shot up. They will not accept it. They can't. It would just be unbearable for most of them. They can't do it. It's too much. I understand. I get it. Okay. September 5th, you want to jump into that? Go ahead.
Yeah. We still have some left over. This one's particularly striking. Where do I start? My partner had one shot December 10th, 2021. 5 weeks later, she was diagnosed with brain and lung cancer, stage 4. The neurologist who cut the two tumors out of her brain said they'd only been there for 4 to 6 weeks. Since January 2022 now, we're in September, she has had 54 rounds of radiation, 6 rounds of chemo, and has grown 9 new brain tumors in 7 months. Yes, it is terminal, but we're doing our best. They are starting her on immunotherapy, first shot ever, 3 weeks for the next 2 years. Here are some start-to-finish pictures of the tumors. First pic are from January. They cut it out. And last is the last week, 2 more popped up, plus the lung cancer shot. So more gamma knife to zap the 2 new ones that popped up in 7 weeks. God. I mean, they're just butchering this person.
I know a lot of you out there saying, I don't want to listen to this stuff. Don't blame you, but we can't hide away from it. We've got to, if we don't know your enemy, we don't have a chance.
That's true.
That bad. It's that bad. All right, let's see. Brain and lung cancer. Unbelievable. All right, cousin in the Netherlands, 24-year-old girl. These are kids. Just had a heart attack yesterday. One artery, 95% clogged. This is Jeff. Can we spell amyloidosis? Can we spell amyloid clots? Can we spell lying media? Can we spell doctors who are complicit in this? Accessories to murder? A 24-year-old girl with her whole life ahead of her has a heart attack. And one of her arteries was 95% clogged already with an amyloid proteinaceous clot. Remember how they start? Little fibrils. Little fibrils, giant clots will come. My family can't see the connection to her getting the shot and her heart attack. They think it's congenital. So advising us they are to have tests. She has survived so far with a stent, but 24? My brother-in-law suffered a heart attack right after he got quacked. Pericarditis? Can't put two and two together. Refuse the shots. It's a call from the wilderness. Go ahead, microstrokes.
I was going to go to this nurse one. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I got the jab times 2 for nursing school. I had no choice. Was more than halfway through the program. I had no reaction after the first shot, although I wonder if that's because I went out for margaritas afterwards, which lowered my immune response. That's my theory. After my second, I was bedridden, gray and cold, and in agonizing bone pain for over 36 hours. I got my third as mandatory for clinicals. Not even 24 hours later, I woke up with chest pain. No history of chest pain whatsoever. 1 week later, the pain changed from burning and aching to crushing. I went to the ER. The ER doc agreed it was probably the shot and most likely pericarditis, but discharged me with a plan of fluids, rest, and NSAIDs, because I didn't want to spend Thanksgiving in the hospital. My discharge paperwork stated skeletal pain, so now I have no paper trail to fight for a medical exemption for myself. I have since graduated and gotten my RN. So many customers come in with new cases of rare and aggressive cancer. All of them had these carrots. So many young
shots.
People with clots and strokes and heart issues all tried the carrots. The medical field is waking up. I encourage any and all of you to seek medical care at smaller hospitals. They are the most open-minded and respectful.
I'm sorry here. I'm glad that she feels the medical field is waking up. The medical field knows goddamn well what's going on. They're lying. They're liars. Or if they don't know, they're incompetent. And there's a lot of that, too. These are just beyond belief, these things. But, dear friends, wherever you are around this world, these things are going on in your hometown, in your city, in your country. If they've gotten the real jab, they're in real trouble. Don't forget it. Okay, that's it for this episode. We'll be back Friday at 7 Pacific time, 10 Eastern. Good night, Erica. Thanks.
Okay, good night, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Hey, we will be right back with more. Hang on.